Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work. Self-care.
I'm holding on to this self-care with every ounce of me.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. This week's guest is Kenya. I know Kenya through social media. Her story and her voice is incredible.
I will always talk about miscarriage.
Yeah.
I always say to women, I really look forward to making it to the other side, whatever that looks like.
Her journey through TTC has been relatable and moving to me.
I honestly thought that we would get pregnant on like the first try.
That's how I felt. Like, it's going to be a one and done.
Yes.
And it was not. This episode really hits home for me. When we started trying to get pregnant and we weren't, it was so bizarre to me. Like, why do I have to work so hard for this? The reason why I wanted to talk to Kenya for this show is she's been such a beacon of light for so many women, myself included.
Every day you are waking up and saying, this could be the last day that I could be pregnant, but I'm going to be positive in the hopes that it's not.
Yeah.
And I'm going to live in the moment that it's not.
It's just wonderful that she's willing to share so much of her journey after overcoming pregnancy loss.
There are so many women who are experiencing this journey who are not talking about it. And a lot of them are not talking about it because they don't have the words yet.
This is Kenya's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
It's so nice to have you on the show, Kenya. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm honored to have you. I am quite familiar with your journey from what you've shared on Instagram, and it's just wonderful to be able to chat with a woman who has gone through what I've gone through and what so many other women have gone through. So we're going to jump right in. If you could, for those listeners who may not be familiar with you, just give us a little background on who you are, what you do, and why you are deciding to be so open about sharing your story to pregnancy, your journey to pregnancy, rather.
Sure. Let's say I'm a blogger, and I started off as an Insta-blogger and then kind of made my way into real-life blogging and developed my own website to share my story there in, you know, more than the characters that are allowed on Instagram. And so now I am just blogging and sharing my life, and I've decided to share my pregnancy journey, my TTC journey.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, I share my miscarriage journey just because I know that there are so many women who are experiencing this journey and who are not talking about it.
Yeah.
And some are not talking about it by choice.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are not talking about it because they don't have the words yet. And so I'm hoping that by talking about it, I inspire other women to talk about it. And then slowly it becomes a conversation that's not taboo.
Yeah.
And not easy to have, because I don't think it will ever be easy to have, but maybe not so uncomfortable. Hopefully that women will say, hey, she's talking about it and I want to talk about it, and I don't know how to go about that, but maybe I could start here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. That's really moving for me, specifically because you were one of the first women on social media that I encountered who was public about having a miscarriage, and just about your TTC journey. And this was before Ryan and I started trying for a baby. And when we did try, and it took a long time, and then we and then we got pregnant naturally, but ended up having an early miscarriage. It was really bizarre. And me being a writer, you know, of course, my first thing is to want to write about it. But it, I almost felt like I was voiceless in that moment. And you were one of the women who helped me kind of find my voice talking about that experience. So can you give us a little bit of background on your TTC journey and how long you and your husband have been trying? And congratulations on your rainbow baby. You guys are so
Thank
cute.
You.
You know, any insight that you want to share about your journey, you know, on the show would be much appreciated, because I know people are used to reading your words, but hearing your voice might have a different effect. So, yeah. So how did it all start for you guys?
Well, after my first miscarriage, I didn't talk about it really with almost anyone, maybe like my best friend here and there. Mm-hmm. I really did not talk about it for almost a year. When I had met my now husband, I had just, it was almost wrapping a year after my first miscarriage. I was wanting to write about it, like you said, but could not find the words. And he was like, you know, don't push it. One day it will just surface. And he's right. It did. It just surfaced. And I think from there, talking about it launched me into healing.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think I was healing before I was talking about it. I think I was just surviving. So then I really feel like I began to heal. I moved to be here with him, and we experienced another miscarriage. So it would be like 2 years after that first miscarriage that we experienced another miscarriage. And I talked about it right away.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
Yeah, like it was days almost afterwards. I said, would you capture this moment for me? And he took a picture of me, and I began writing about it just as candidly as possible. And I noticed that I healed, not quicker, but more efficiently, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that
not
makes sense.
The exact word, but yeah. I felt better as I would talk about it. And even if people, you know, weren't going to receive it well or engage in any type of reciprocation with me, it was really for me.
Right.
And just putting it out there and almost in protest that I would not grieve in silence.
Mm, yeah.
That I would not like hold my tongue so other people could be comfortable about it.
Yeah.
And I do think that helped my healing process become much quicker after the second miscarriage. So then when we did decide to actually try, that was like another 2 years later, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. on the timeline. It's kind of hard because, as you know, your mind
just blurs
distorts,
together.
Yes, your mind distorts time.
Yes.
And I truly think that's to protect your heart.
Absolutely.
To let you breathe, mm-hmm. so you can't lay in bed every night and relive every moment. It's a big blur. And I mm-hmm. think that's with grief in general. So I think another 2 years later, when we were like sat down, and we were like, yes, we're going to do this. I honestly thought that we would get pregnant on like the first try. I don't know why I thought that, but I definitely thought, okay, now I'm ready. We're educated, mm-hmm. and we have been through a lot. So mm-hmm. we know so much more. This should happen for us right away.
That's how I felt. Like it's going to be a one and done.
Yes,
and it was not.
Right. And almost arrogantly, I think it should have happened immediately, because I felt as though I had paid my dues.
Absolutely. Oh my
gosh. And I was owed this pregnancy, and I was owed an easy pregnancy, mm-hmm. and an easy TTC journey. I was owed this by the universe.
Right. Like, give it to me.
Give it to me. And so when I didn't get it, the first month I think was the hardest, mm-hmm. like, okay, so wait, I'm going to have to try
again.
And so we were TTCing for, I want to say, 4 or 5 months. And that is not a long time in the TTC world. That's not even enough time for a doctor to say, you have issues of infertility and let's check this out. That's normal. Just keep trying.
Yeah.
So I really acknowledge that when people ask me about my TTC process, I don't want to embellish or make people think that we were trying forever, because we weren't. And I know that we were extremely lucky in getting pregnant other people wait years and years mm-hmm. to get pregnant in their mm-hmm. TTC process. And so I'm just kind of sensitive to making sure I'm really honest about that and transparent that we did get pregnant like 4 or 5 months in.
Right.
But that 4 or 5 months was long.
Yeah.
And trying, and a lot of building yourself up quickly. 'Cause I've talked about this before. Like, you have almost 28 days to experience the cycle of grief.
Mm-hmm. And then you gotta get with it.
Yeah. And then you have to jump right back in the saddle and try to maintain positive vibes mm-hmm. because, I mean, I know we're very similar in that we believe that energy is
all things,
everything, all things. And so if my energy is still sad and depressed and processing grief from the last cycle, I have doubts around my body being able to conceive.
Right.
So I'm trying to be positive and I'm trying to look towards the future. And that's very hard to rally in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so I think most of the work during my TTC period was fighting the fear, like, am I never going to get pregnant? Is this never going to happen for me? How much longer do I have to wait?
Right.
Versus, you can do this. Like, this is meant for you. Mm-hmm. Manifest it. Mm-hmm. See it. Believe it. Speak it into existence.
Absolutely.
And I think my months just teetered back and forth between managing those emotions.
I remember you posting, maybe it was a couple, maybe it was, I don't know, time, like you said, maybe it was a year ago, a couple years ago, but if that you and your husband weren't sure if you even wanted kids anymore.
Do you? Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Yeah, it was I would love, because I think that a lot of people go through those emotions because it gets so hard after loss. It gets so hard after negative pregnancy test, after negative pregnancy test. It's hard. And people who are not in this TTC journey, and I literally just got in it 2 years ago because with my daughter, it was easy peasy.
Right.
And
when you're not planning.
When I'm not planning, and when I had no business, I was 18, you know, so it was just like, it was very different. Right. And then I meet the man of my dreams and we fall in love and everything is literally aligned. Like, I literally wrote out my life. I did a lot of affirmations. I did a lot of energy work. I did a lot of meditation. I just did a lot of things that could uplift my life in the best way possible. So when I found my partner, I was like, this is divine. Like, all of this is just supposed to happen. Yeah. And when we started trying to get pregnant and we weren't, it was so bizarre to me because it was so easy the first time. And I almost felt like, why do I have to work so hard for this? Like, everything else has come so easy. And then I meet my husband after doing a lot of work because I put in a lot of the work, right? And then I just feel like, just like you said, I feel like I deserve this. I feel like we deserve this. And it just wasn't happening. So come to find out, we were experiencing mild male factor infertility. So whatever that, you know, those terminologies are just so vague. And then we had to tackle that, right? So it was 2 years of that and a miscarriage later. And it was just like, what is going on? Like, why are we going through this? So when I read that post from you saying, we don't even know if we want kids, I was at that same point. Like, I'm good with Charlie. Ryan's good with Charlie. Maybe we should just like count our blessing and keep
travel
it moving.
The world and forget it all.
Right, right. And it'd just be the three of us. So,
yes.
You know, I've had that feeling and I know a lot of women have. And I just wanted to get your insight on feeling that way and then changing your mind.
Yeah. After my first miscarriage, I wanted children immediately. I remember vividly, like, no, I will heal my body and my heart and I will try again. Mm-hmm. And I like immersed myself in my friends' children's lives. I was at their houses like every night. I was attending recitals. I was literally, they were healing me.
Wow.
Their children were. Mm-hmm. And after my second miscarriage, I wanted nothing to do with their children, or anybody's children.
Anybody's children. And, no, I get that.
Yeah.
Too.
And I didn't go to birthday parties and I didn't go to showers. And I really shied away from that because it hurt mm-hmm. so bad.
Yeah.
And then also I was like, maybe this just isn't for me. And so the quicker I accept that, the better quality of life I will have.
Mm.
And so I think, and I used to have that conversation with myself a lot of times, like, is this fear or is this real? And it's really confusing mm-hmm. when you're navigating grief, whether your feelings are real or if your feelings are manifestations of loss and fear and doubt.
Absolutely.
And so I struggled with not wanting to have kids for almost 2 years after my second miscarriage. I got the IUD to make sure that it did not happen. Because
oh my
the
goodness.
Thought
wow.
of getting pregnant terrified me
yeah.
to no end. Like, it was not an option.
Mm.
I remember getting the IUD was very traumatic. Mm-hmm. The insert mm-hmm. was very traumatic. And my doctor was like, maybe we should not do this. And I was like, no, put it in.
We're doing it.
Doing it. Because this amount of pain will alleviate an amount of pain that I am not prepared or capable of handling or dealing with if we were to get pregnant. And then we took the IUD out after a year because of health complications, but I still was not having it. Still was not open. And my husband was really wanting kids but not pushing, mm-hmm. which is great. He's mm-hmm. a great support system. And so he kind of was just like, the ball is in your court. And I remember one day looking through pictures of my wedding, and we had got married in Italy in this really small town called Cortona. And I remember saying to myself, I really want my daughter to see this place. And it was the first time that I had a genuine, like, unprovoked thought about kids. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm open to having kids. And I just let myself, like, marinate on that a little bit. And then I would see things or just moments would happen. And I would be like, okay, maybe I do want a child. It was really that moment of wanting to show my daughter. And at that time, I tell him that's like the moment I manifested
her. Yeah. Because she is on the way.
She is on the way. And so I really think that was the moment. And once I continued to say it out loud that I wanted this life for a child of mine, the more comfortable I became with it and the less afraid of it I became. And so in the end, I do think that there was part of me that would be okay with not having children. I would be okay. My husband and I have an amazing life, and I could see so many beautiful things for us. Like I mentioned, travel, and we have tons of kids surrounding us. So we would still have children in our life. And so I could totally see myself being okay with that. But I also didn't want to not have kids out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I really try not to make decisions out of fear. So I really didn't want to say, I don't want to have kids, because I was afraid that we would get pregnant and we would miscarry again,
yeah.
or we would get pregnant and this world is crazy and something could happen to the child. Mm-hmm. It really was not wanting to make decisions out of fear. And so I just came to a point where I don't think I was totally over the fear, but I was not ready to succumb to it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. We can totally try again. And whatever happens, happens.
That's so wonderful. I can,
but it took a long time to get there.
Yeah, like it, and that's the thing. Like, timing is
everything.
And you know, I'm pregnant now, and the world mm-hmm. knows. So yay! I've really appreciated you. You know, we've never met in person, but I feel like I know you personally,
and likewise,
and you checking on me and, you know, telling me to reward myself for different milestones, like the 6-week ultrasound. Okay, the 8-week ultrasound. How are you treating yourself? Because I was scared, and I still take things day by day. I really feel like, as real as I know that this pregnancy is, and as much as I am trying to enjoy every single bit of it, it's after you have a after you suffer a loss, mm-hmm. things just feel different. And after you after you're going through this TTC journey, things feel different. Like, I was never this mindful prior to me trying with my husband of how much of a miracle and magic it takes to create a human being. Like, it was so easy for my daughter, and I wasn't trying, and I had no business. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You know, and it was just,
I totally
like,
get it.
What? It's, I literally feel like a fertility specialist after all the stuff we've been through, all the tests, all the everything that we've been through. And it really does make me feel so grateful and humble every day that I wake up and I'm still pregnant and I'm still, you know, mm-hmm. on the path to growing our family and expanding our family and making Charlie a big sister and Ryan's first, child, his first biological child. It's so many different feels and emotions, and I'm just trying to take it all in. Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue and it's shaped like the flower and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo Tie-Dye Bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. When you guys first found out you were pregnant with your daughter, how did you process that? And how did you not operate in fear? Because it's scary to not know. You know what I mean? And it's just really tricky. So I would love to hear your thoughts on becoming pregnant and not miscarrying and enjoying every moment that you can before she gets here and while she's in you. You know what I mean? Like, how has that been for you?
So when I first found out that I was pregnant, since I was TTC, I was peeing on a stick every day.
Girl.
You know? So it wasn't like one day I'm like, oh, I'm 5 days late. Like 5 days before my period and I'm peeing on a stick every day. And I'm like, come on. So when I actually like saw the stick turn, I was almost like confused because it had been negative so many times.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, this is real.
Right.
And so, like, I had a moment, like, to, with myself just celebrating, like, okay, this is happening, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it's real now. And it was very exciting. And as soon as that excitement set in, the fear was like its best friend, like right there.
Like, hey.
Like, yes, exactly. Like, this could end tomorrow. And so then I had to make a decision. It was two or three days before Christmas. I had to like decide when to tell my husband. And I wanted it to be, so I always like break it up into two different worlds. Women who have never miscarried, they don't have these fears. And so they get to do things that women who have not miscarried get to do.
Right.
For example, they get to plan really exciting, we're pregnant moments, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So women who have miscarried don't usually get that luxury because, mm-hmm. like I said, it could be over tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we know this because we've experienced it firsthand. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I have to tell, do I tell this person now or am I waiting? There's a lot of questions that you're asking yourself how to go about this in the best way. And whereas a woman who has never miscarried isn't thinking about the moment could slip away. Mm-hmm. She's just thinking about how to celebrate and preserve this moment. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to live in her shoes. Mm. I selfishly wanted to be in her shoes. And I did not want to be in the miscarried woman's shoes, thinking about this could disappear tomorrow. And if I tell him and we both go through this, it could be more devastating maybe for him than me, because it happens in our body. And so I think we process in different ways than men do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he had lost his first child with our last miscarriage. And just watching that happen for him was so hard.
Oh my
and
goodness.
So I really didn't want to put him through it again.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to. And so these are all things that women who have miscarried think about.
Absolutely.
And so I was like, I'm not going to be her.
Right.
I don't want to be her right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do what a woman who has not miscarried done. And I'm going to plan for celebration and I'm going to plan to preserve this moment. So no matter what happens, we get this moment of excitement. We get this moment of celebration. And so I planned to like tell him on Christmas Day through a gift, and I wanted the tears and I wanted the excitement. I wanted it all. I deserved it.
Absolutely.
So I moved forward with that plan. And so that's how I told him. And as soon as I told him, again, the miscarried woman's fears set in, like, so now he knows. And now we both know. And we've had this moment of excitement. How long do we get to live in it?
Yeah.
And honestly, the whole first trimester and a half was like that.
Yeah.
Taking every single day and battling the fears of a woman who is miscarried.
Yeah.
And fighting for the joy that a woman who is not miscarried naturally gets. And it was every day I would wake up and be scared immediately that perhaps my symptoms slipped away in the night and so did the pregnancy. And I was still taking pregnancy tests like probably until like 8 weeks.
Girl,
like every day.
Me too.
Am I still pregnant? Okay.
Right.
I am.
Right. Right.
Right. And my husband's like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And would be reassuring me. And still that wasn't enough. And so every day that I didn't have symptoms, I cried. And he would be like, you need to embrace this reprieve and enjoy the moment that you're not feeling like awful.
Like crap, right?
Right. And I would be like, no, I want to feel like crap because then I know the baby's there and I know the baby's growing and it's a sign of life. And so I gladly take it on.
Yeah.
And so like I was telling you, I was just celebrating every little thing I could. I was taking every fear I had and was trying to counter it with a celebration, mm-hmm. with a moment of joy, with a memory, because you just don't know how long you're going to get to be pregnant. And with my last pregnancies, I didn't really like live in the moment and I didn't really celebrate and I wasn't mindful, like you said. It was like all happening very fast, and I just wasn't living in the moment enough, and I really wanted to be in the moment with this pregnancy so that if something happened to her, I would look back and say, I still had all this.
Yeah.
I still had all these moments.
Yeah.
And so, wonderful. Like you said, I was celebrating at 6 weeks, you know, we still got her, mm-hmm. or, you know, at the time we didn't know it was her, like, we're still pregnant.
Yeah.
And I would do something at 6 weeks, even if it was like eat a like lavish meal, mm-hmm. like something small. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, I bought bras 1 week.
Yeah. I actually went and did the same thing when you were like, go get something nice. So me and Ryan went to Soma and got new panties and new bras for those swollen, yes. these swollen boobies. And it was good. And I needed that from you because I was terrified.
Yeah. Every day you are waking up and saying, this could be the last day that I could be pregnant. It's very real. But I'm going to be positive in that it's in the hopes that it's not.
Yeah.
And I'm going to live in the moment that it's not, because it's not healthy to live in the moment that it is.
Right.
For you physically or mentally, you know, it affects, I truly believe it would affect my pregnancy had I wallowed in that fear, yeah. instead of choosing to fight it.
Yeah. Yeah.
With joy. And I did that until probably the middle of the second trimester. And then I felt like a breath,
yeah.
like, oh, and I started to like be excited and get really wrapped up in, you know, dressing the bump and things like that. And now that I'm in the third trimester, the fear has definitely returned. Mm. And I'm living in every day, do we get to keep her?
Yeah.
And
okay.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I mean, every day there's a physical reminder now. There's a huge bump.
Yeah.
It's a physical reminder that she's here, and we're just pushing to that finish line, but every day is a fight. And it's a fight that you just have to make. You have to rally. I keep saying that, but you must rally,
yeah.
for yourself, for your family, for your child.
Mm-hmm.
You must rally. You have to fight the fear, and you have to acknowledge that it's most likely not going to go away.
Right. Yeah.
And so you just choose to face it, and you find a way to face it. And for me, rewarding myself has been a way for me to face it, acknowledging that there are two types of pregnancy experiences. Like I said, the woman who has never experienced loss, and she gets to, and not to say that she doesn't ever live in fear. I'm not saying that.
Right.
Her fears are just different. So, but I do think that women who have never lost get to experience a type of joy,
yeah.
that women who have lost don't really get to experience. And every day I'm fighting for that joy.
Yeah.
It's mine. I deserve it. I want it. I'm going to keep it.
Yes. No, I mean, listen, you are speaking. I feel like it's so funny because people are always like, Alex, you're saying exactly what I want to say. And I'm just like, Kenya's saying everything that I want to say, have been saying, just, and I've been saying to myself and to my husband. And it's so interesting, this journey. And when we talked maybe a week ago or so, and you're like, have you gotten a Doppler? And I was like, no, I'm not getting one, so I'm gonna drive myself crazy. And I got one like the next day. I was like, I want to get one. And I've been listening to baby's heartbeat, and that's our reward as a family too, like enjoying those little moments, and Charlie hearing,
yeah.
her sibling's heartbeat. And it's just trying to look at things in a way that is rooted in resilience and not fear. And
yes.
while we have our moments of fear, not letting that overcome our joy. Like, this pregnancy is teaching me so much, and just this journey has taught me so much. It's unreal. It's like, wow, this is how pregnancy is for women who have experienced loss. Like, this is just how it is for us. And a lot of people won't understand, but the ones who do understand, it is such a relief. And a sense of community, too, to know that you're not the only one who's driving yourself crazy or
crazy
or who's, you know, nervous or what have you. So with that being said, I want to ask you a couple more questions before we wrap up. The first being, what made you share on social media so early? And I knew I was going to be right behind you, like, girl, yes, Kenya did it. I'm going to do it. If she can do it, I'm going to do it. What made you share so early?
I think that when I share, no matter what I'm sharing, it makes things very real.
Yeah.
For me, it's almost like when I share, it's almost like undressing.
No,
it sounds crazy.
No, but, I feel you.
It's almost like undressing, and it feels good to be naked and to be seen for just what is.
Yeah.
And it feels good to share. To me personally,
yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, I just feel so much better after sharing. And a part of that comes from when I share, you know, we've talked about this. Social media is a weird place. Yeah. And there's always going to be a little bit of negativity there. But for the most part, like you mentioned, the community is amazing.
Yeah.
And so when I shared, I knew that when I shared, the overwhelming response would be an abundance of love. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that that amount of love on my side could not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
That like that amount of people rooting for me and my family and cheering for us and thinking of us, whether intentionally or unintentionally throughout the day, putting our family out into the universe, that could not be a bad thing for us. We could not have too much love in this moment.
Absolutely.
And so I wanted to share for that reason. I selfishly wanted the love and support from the universe that moving forward, like this baby was coming into the world, like just so supported, you know? And also I wanted women to know that and I didn't want to say this to scare women, but anything can happen in pregnancy.
Yes.
I mean, I know that there's a lot of talk about miscarriage in the first 12 weeks, and that's why we don't talk about our pregnancies the first 12 weeks, you know.
Right.
So, but then what happens to those women who are not talking about their pregnancy in the first 12 weeks and they do lose?
Right.
Is that pain in any way reduced?
Mm.
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think it is.
It's not.
So I really wanted to talk about it because I wanted women to know that anything can happen in pregnancy at any point.
Yeah.
You could be 21 weeks and something really awful happen. You could be 30 weeks and something awful happen. That's how fragile and what a miracle pregnancy is, like you were saying, you know?
Yeah.
Anything could happen, and it's why we should live in the moment and fight the fear.
Yeah.
So I wanted women to know that no matter when you spoke on your pregnancy, like the pain and the joy is not affected by your decision to speak on it.
Yeah.
So whether you announce your pregnancy very early and something great or something grave happens,
right,
the announcement itself has no bearing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do announce that you're pregnant before the taboo 12 weeks,
right,
and something grave does happen, you can always handle it however you want. I think people's fears are, now I have to go and tell all these people that something bad has happened and I don't want to face that. I don't want to do that. But the beautiful thing is you don't have to tell anybody anything. You can do exactly what you want whenever you want. This is your pregnancy and there are no rules.
Yeah.
So you should do exactly what feels comfortable to you at every single moment, you know? And so if you want to share your joy and you want to have that moment and you want to say, hey, we're 6 weeks pregnant, then you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something happens later on, you can make a choice on how you want to handle that then. But also knowing that you have all those people that you already told sending love towards you. And like I said, I don't think there's anyone can ever have too much love.
Absolutely.
So that's why we shouted it from the rooftop. And I really was like trying to be as transparent as possible as well in the process. Like I had started something and women were
waiting,
not just waiting, but they were almost like, I didn't want to let the women who were in my shoes down.
Yeah.
And I didn't announce it for them. I announced it for myself.
Right.
I didn't want to let them down. And I always want to be really transparent in what's going on. And everything is not always roses. And, right. you know, so as soon as we found out we were expecting, and it was very exciting, I also immediately talked about the fear that accompanies that.
Yeah.
Because I just want to give a voice to this journey. And because I know that there are so many women on it, and it's changing them, and it's breaking them, and it's evolving them, and it's growing them in ways that they probably didn't even want to grow.
Yeah.
And I just want to be a voice in this journey that says, use your voice too, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's real. That's extremely moving as well, because I struggled with when to say something, right? Like,
I know.
Like, this bump is poking. Second baby bumps poke a little sooner, and it was poking, and people were like, like, what's going on? Is that a burrito or is that a baby? So I was just trying to find the way, not even the right way to do it, but just the way to do it that honored me and my family, but also, yeah. as I mentioned on my post, honored the people who still are walking through this, haven't gotten pregnant yet, haven't held their rainbows babies yet. You know what I mean? Just trying to
sure.
be mindful and gentle, because on social media, as great as a tool as it is, I've met some marvelous people. I've made some amazing connections. It can be very overwhelming, specifically when there's things in your life that are sad and scary and that you're easily triggered by. Social media is like the queen of triggers. And
right, your explore page knows all your right. triggers.
Exactly. And I just wanted to make sure, and I still want to make sure, that I'm being sensitive to those who are still on the journey to even trying, even conceiving, right? So I don't ever think our journey's over. And I was talking to a woman yesterday. She reached out to me and she was saying, you know, I know this is sacred for you, and I know that you may be a little scared and that you're just ready to reach the end, but just enjoy every single moment until you do. And that's how I feel. I just wish it was the end, but I want to enjoy everything in the middle too.
Yeah.
it's so tricky.
It's complex.
It's very complex. Who knew? Like, it is so complex.
You want the reward before the potential for it to slip away, but you also want the experience of the journey.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have both when you are in our position.
Exactly. So my last question is, how do you maneuver around women who have had miscarriages and you're now in the position where you are close to holding your little one?
Mm-hmm.
I know that some women still don't like to talk about it. I reached out to a woman a few weeks ago and was congratulating her and sending love to her family. And I mentioned, you know, that we had both had miscarriages and now our rainbow baby is on the way. I mentioned this to you briefly.
Yeah.
And she didn't respond. Like, she didn't say thank you. She didn't send a heart. She didn't say anything. And I kind of felt like I may have overstepped my boundaries by reminding her that she had a miscarriage. So I had to kind of check myself and be like, well, maybe she didn't want to be reminded that she lost a baby previous to this baby. And of course, I didn't mean to insult her or trigger her. But as we're walking through this journey, how do you find the words when you're interacting with women who are either pregnant, have had losses, and haven't gotten pregnant yet? How have you found the words to interact with them?
So I think every situation probably is unique, you know, but I think that the most important thing is, and I touched a little bit on when we were talking about this, is that I stay true to myself,
right,
and my journey. And and we talked a little bit about this, which is why I was like, no, you should tell the world that you're pregnant.
No.
because, you know, you provide a light of hope and things like that. And so I think that for me, that is how I move forward.
Yeah.
That I'm excited and I want to share my story, and I don't want to hide my story, and I don't think I should have to hide my story. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm not going to.
Right.
And so I know exactly what you're saying, because when I would see, I mean, my best friend got pregnant shortly after I miscarried, mm-hmm. and I can only imagine how hard that was for her to tell me that she was pregnant.
Right.
But you know what? Is even in my moments of weakness where I would question, how is this happening for someone else and not me?
Because
we have those questions,
yeah.
and we have those dark thoughts, even if people don't want to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
I'm still over the moon for her. I'm
yeah.
still so happy for her. And then she provides a source of, this could still happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm just mindful in not giving opinions or advice
right.
that are not asked for.
Right.
I mean, if someone asks me, I'm going to be honest and give them, you know, my thoughts,
but right.
with not giving unsolicited advice or opinion to women who have miscarried, who are not on the same journey I am.
Right.
We're all splitting paths, you
right.
know?
Right.
And so I don't want to tell women, oh, you should try this, or you should do this, or this is what worked for me, if they're not asking.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so I just try to be mindful of that. I try to be mindful of not saying things that are not guaranteed, like, oh, it will happen for you.
Right. Right.
I really try to stay away from things like that. Or
yeah.
A lot of people want to say, the timing, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
And when the time is right, it will happen for you. And while I understand what people are saying when they say that, that is not something you want to hear
right.
as a woman who has miscarried, who has yet to conceive.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're like, no, no, the time is right.
Right. The timing has been right. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. Want to say. So I just try to be mindful and not selling false dreams.
Yeah.
Or encouraging false dreams, but giving things that were helpful to me, like when I first miscarried and I ran into a friend who had miscarried and I didn't know she miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
She said something to me that I'll never forget. And she was like, one day you will be a new normal.
Mm.
And at the time I was like, couldn't understand it because I didn't think I'd ever be normal again,
mm-hmm.
first of all. And I definitely didn't want to be new.
Right.
I wanted my old life. I wanted the baby that I lost. And
yeah,
I wanted all those things that were no longer.
Right.
And so I now tell women, you know, just stay open to whatever the world, whatever the universe is showing you at the time. You just
yeah.
never know what could happen and when.
Yeah.
And so maybe your journey, you know, doesn't end with children. Maybe your journey ends with something else that is also beautiful. So just stay open to that and to know that one day you will be a new normal, because you can't ever go back to being that woman that you were. You know way too much now
right.
about life. You've seen way too many things. You yep. cannot go back to being her.
Yeah.
You will be a new normal. And so I just try to be mindful of their journey and the space in between our journeys, that they're not the same.
At all.
And I think a lot of women wanting to say something kind or wanting to say the right thing assume that all of our journeys are the same, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we've all experienced loss.
Right, right.
But they're just not. And so I just try to honor that all our losses are different.
Yeah.
And while we have all experienced the same loss, we're not experiencing it the same way at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so just being mindful of that, but still being excited about where I'm at in my journey. And I'm still shouting my joys from the rooftop and still expressing gratitude for where I'm at, and also not carrying guilt for where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to feel guilty about getting pregnant.
Right.
I don't want to feel guilty about, this is what I always say to women, I really look forward to you making it to the other side, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And so this is what my other side looks like. And I don't want to feel guilty for that. And so I'm not going to take on any guilt for that as well. And I think that's hard sometimes for women who have conceived and are still mindful of, like you were saying, women who have not.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I think about my journey now, and people were probably wondering, why is she even still talking about miscarriage? She's pregnant now.
It never goes away. It never goes away.
I will always talk about miscarriage.
Yeah.
Because it's a part of my life. And I think that the women who experience it are important, deserve to be, I think that this, it deserves to be talked about. And just because I am pregnant or, you know, will have a rainbow baby, you know, everything going right.
Yeah.
We'll have a rainbow baby. I don't think I'll ever stop talking about miscarriage. And so I think it's, for me, longest answer ever. Sorry,
no,
Alex.
No, it's fine.
About, it's about honoring my journey and speaking my truths and not taking on any guilt, but expressing all the joy and being mindful of where other women are in their journey. Mm-hmm. And just kind of remembering when I was there and how I felt and what I did and did not want to hear. Just trying to stay as true to that as possible. And, you know, like you said, we're going to say things or maybe overstep boundaries here and there, because how can you not when these experiences are so unique, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I think I'm checking in on you too much and I'm like, you need to leave her alone.
No, I love it. I'm telling you now, I love it.
Leave her alone.
And sometimes you'll check in when I'm about to check in with you and I'm about to be like, hey, XYZ happened today or baby's heart rate was this today. And I don't like it. Just it's so funny. I'm an open book and I am learning how that, yes, being an open book has helped so many people. It's helped me. Right. But there mm-hmm. are little things that I'm never going to tell certain people.
Sure.
And just being able to share this experience with you and see your journey and read your words and read your journey, it gave me hope. And the fact that you embraced me and when I reached out to you about being pregnant, and it was early on, mm-hmm. you just immediately made me feel comfortable and wanted and warm. And that just, it just made me happy to have someone who's been in my shoes who I could talk to about it. And, you know, it's hard to explain. I'm trying to put it into words, but I don't have any friends who've really gone through what I've gone through. There's a couple, but like you said, a lot of people don't really actively talk about it. Mm-hmm. And when you find people who are willing to talk about it and who are willing to love you through it, it's a blessing. So I just want to thank you for, you know, checking in and just being warm to me and understanding. You know, I appreciate you.
And I'm so honored that you reached out to me. And I think it's not that we all need validation, but it feels good. It's validating to know that that's exactly why I speak about what has happened to us.
Yeah.
Because I think that every woman who's experiencing this deserves to have a fairy godmother, the TTC fairy godmother, or a miscarriage fairy godmother, or someone who's been there in your shoes and who understands what you're going through and is unafraid to be there for you. And so it's so nice to hear you say that, and thank you. And I couldn't be more over the moon for your for your pregnancy and your experience. And it's so hard for me to not be like, shout it from the roof.
I know. and a day at a time.
Right. Yeah. And that's what you said. I want to honor your experience. I just want to be here and be here for it. And I check myself with boundaries all the time, just like we're checking other people with boundaries.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
So thank you for letting me be part of it. And thank you for including me in this conversation. I'm just grateful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you. Before we go, please let our listeners know, this was a great conversation, by the way, where they can find you online and on the gram and on Twitter and all the internet places.
Sure. I'm really easy to find. Everything is Halfie Truths, and that's Halfie Truths, Truths. And so that's Instagram. My blog is halfietruths.com. Facebook, Twitter, it's all Halfie Truths.
Yay.
So I'm relatively easy to find, and I hope you come find me. stalk me so I can stalk you back and all that good stuff.
Wonderful. Okay, Kenya, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Hey Girl is a member of the District Productive Network, produced by Jamie Benson and me, Alex L. Music provided by DC's own Kokai.